Lord God Almighty, we come to you in prayer. We thank you for giving us this class and your word, Lord. Thank you for the protection you do have on us, Lord. And thank you for Dr. Jim, and help us as we go out here from here and hear the word to understand a little bit and preach to the lost, Lord. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. 18:18 we read, was the last verse we read last week. We'll read it over again. And Sharon, do you want to give us about from about 14 onward? Could you come up here and read that from the Amplified Bible? The Amplified Bible is a really a good Bible to study from. It explains the Greek and the Hebrew very well.
18:14, right?
Yeah, 18:14. John, Gospel according to John. I always try to say it in Greek because I think it in Greek.
It was Caiaphas who had counseled the Jews that it was expedient and for their welfare that one man should die for instead of in behalf of the people. Now, Simon Peter and another disciple followed Jesus, and that disciple was known to the high priest. So he entered along with Jesus into the court of the palace of the high priest. But Peter was standing outside the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the maid who kept the door and brought Peter inside. Then the maid who was in charge of the door said to Peter, You are not also one of the disciples of this man, are you? And he said, I am not. Now the servants and the guards, the attendants, had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. And Peter was with them, standing and warming himself.
Remember what was the name of the sermon? That's good enough. Remember what the name of the sermon was I told you last week? An old sermon that 1,000 preachers have preached, or maybe 10,000 preach. Warming yourself at the devil's fire. All right? And what was the name of the coal? What's the name of the coal? It's a scientific term that comes from Greek. Anthracite. It is Anthracion, or anthracite, is where we get the name there. All right, now 18 and verse 19. The high priest questions, interrogates Jesus. Ho un arcadios erotason ton eson peri ton matheton auto kai peri tes didaskes. How to? All right. Brother Steve, there is one of these books up there in that deal if you want one. They're right in that cabinet right there.
Paper.
Yeah. Is a book up there like this. The one, therefore, the high priest. Now, look at that word ho there and akarius. See that? Now, they're from a different declension. All right. But the whole there, that's nominative singular masculine, definite article, and it's describing the high priest, the one high priest, therefore the one high priest. The sentence actually starts out with this particle, therefore, Therefore, the high priest, the one high priest, he questioned the Jesus. And look at that word, ton asun. Ton is what? We don't have our star students here tonight, ton. Omicron nu on the end of it, that's accusative. Singular masculine. That's how you tell that. You look at the definite articles, it'll tell you exactly what's going on, what case it's in. Okay? Jesus concerning the disciples, of the disciples. Look at that word. That's genitive plural, masculine. All right? The definite article and the noun is describing ton, matheton. What does matheton mean? You remember what that one means, Chance? Matheton. No? What's it mean? You got it. Habitual learners. Habitual learners. Ones that are constantly habitually learning. Okay? These are what we call learners or habitual learners. These are students. I have a lot of people tell me sometimes, boy, you're a brilliant scholar. And I tell them I am a student. I am a student. Study. Student. I earned two doctorates in school. Of course, associate, bachelor's, master's, and a couple of doctorates. But I only got started there. One of my professors, won a scholar, one of the greatest scholars. His name was Carl E. Farah. A little old bitty short guy about this tall. I'm getting shorter every year. Like, I used to be 6 foot tall. I'm just getting small. I'm getting right down there to him. Before I die, maybe I'll be 5 foot tall. Anyway, he was crippled with a muscular dystrophy since he was 5 years old, but a giant, powerful man in the Word of God. A student. He'd always say he'd sign a book to my fellow student. He'd give a lot of books to me because he knew I was a student. He said, when you get through going through this school 6, 7, 8 years, whatever it takes you to get your doctorate, you'll just begun to learn. All you got was a license to learn, that's all. All you learned is how to learn. You had enough tools of the languages and things. You can study Hebrew, you can study Greek, and you can go through these things, and you have a license to learn. Because before you did, you couldn't learn. You have to know so much before you can understand things. There's a time element in learning, and there's a study element in learning. You just don't all of a sudden come in a classroom one day and understand everything that the teacher says. If he's teaching deep subjects, you can go and you can get milk and water sermons, but you go into the deep Word of God and you're just going to just bite one little tiny piece off at a time and chew it and see if you can swallow it and digest it. Maybe. My teachers told me, he said, if you don't understand this today, just stick it underneath your hat, put it in the lunchbox, maybe 30, 40 years from now, you can digest it. And I did. And I did. It took a long time. A lot of things that I tell you and I repeat over and over again because they are foundational doctrines. They are foundational ideas. The habitual learners of Him, belonging to Him, they're His. That's genitive, singular, masculine, third person pronoun, out al two there.
What verse, John?
This is 18:19.
Thank you.
Okay, John 18 and verse 19. Al two, that is third person pronoun. It's genitive, singular, masculine. The disciples belonging to Him, there are His. And concerning the teaching, now this is genitive, singular, feminine. Look at that, both taste didaskes. Okay? That's genitive, singular, masculine. The teaching belonging to Him. All right? Do you see that? The teaching and the disciples belonging to Him. Now, let's go to 18 and verse 20. 18 verse 20. Matter of fact, by the way, before we go there, Matthew 26, 59 through 68, Mark 14, 55 through 65, Luke 22, 63 through 71 are all cross-references to this one here. Okay? That's all subjects. This is what we call synoptic subjects. Now, John is not a synoptic gospel, is he? And what would he mean by synoptic? Synoptic.
Similar.
What?
Paul Mark.
What?
Mark. So Mark wrote it and then...
No, synoptic. What does the word synoptic mean?
Same.
Synoptic.
Same.
What?
Same.
Optic. We get a word ophthalmologist. Optics. Synoptic. So what does that mean? To see together. There are three synoptics. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And then we have an oddball, which is John. John, why does John write his gospel? Why did he write it? Why did John write his gospel? What did he want to prove? Yes. The divinity of Jesus. That Jesus is Jehovah God of the Old Testament. That's his purpose. And he keeps repeating it every few chapters, doesn't he? This boom, boom, boom. He'll come around, he'll go and tell you a few stories, and then he'll turn around and blast you with a cannon. Jesus is Jehovah God. He is the great I Am of the Old Testament. He is the Logos. And the Logos is Hadavar in Hebrew, which means the Jehovah, the name of God. He is the name of God. He is God. All right. 18 verse 20. Apokrite. Auto. Jesus ego. Paresia. Lalika. Ton cosmo. Or to cosmo. Ego. Pantote. Idi doxa. in synagogue, kai en to ero hupu pontes hoi judaioi sin erconte kai en crypto elalesa udain. That's a long verse. And he caught up in speech. And he caught up in speech. That's what it says, apokrithē. It comes from apo, which means from, and krithē, which means to judge. Apo and krinomai is what it comes from. And it's third person singular, first aorist, indicative passive. He was caused to catch up in speech. They answered him a question, they interrogated him, and now he was caused to answer it. Him. To him. Okay? That's dative singular masculine third person pronoun. See that word auto there? Auto with the omega with the iota subscript under it? That means it's in one of the locative, instrumental, or dative cases. You'll see that. It's os, oo, oo, on a. That's how you decline nominative, singular, masculine, second declension words in the singular. Okay? There's eight of them. Nominative, genitive, omnative, locative, instrumental, dative, effusive, and vocative. Eight cases. And in Hebrew, we have that, don't we? We have it because it's brought over into the grammar from the Greek grammarians. It is there in Hebrew, but you will see it in the prepositions. We'll tell you where it comes from. Here, we have tremendous more preciseness in Greek than you do in Hebrew. And he answered him, Jesus, I, with freedom of speech, paresia. Paresia means freedom of speech. With plainness, not hiding anything, I have spoken. Lila leka. Now, that comes from laleo, doesn't it? Now, what do you remember what that laleo means there, Sharon? You're the top scholar in the classroom tonight. Laleo. Lego means what? I speak and I put things one thing after in a row, like in a row, which is just the Hebrew dabar, to put in a line, like principle. But what does laleo mean? Remember what laleo means? How do you say lalilika? How'd you say that with your mouth? Now do you remember? To say with the ability of human speech, God, Jehovah, became flesh so he could speak to us in our, what we call a contemporary, a like person, a goel, our kinsman redeemer. I have spoken. First person singular, perfect, indicative, active. Lila leka. I have spoken to cosmo, to the world. What world are we talking about here? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now we have to cosmo. What world is he talking to here about here? What world? Remember when Jesus told the little parable? He said, if you're going to bind the powerful man and come into his territory, in this wicked, powerful man's territory, what do you have to do? You go in and bind him. Jesus came into a world that hated him. Is that right or not? He came into a world that despised him. The world still despises Jesus. False religion despises Jesus, doesn't it? The Islamic culture will absolutely tell you that Jesus Christ did not die on the cross of Calvary and that he was not God's Son. But that's the whole purpose of John's writing here, isn't it? To prove to us. Now, usually in evidence in a court, the oldest document has the power of force, doesn't it? Yep. Is the New Testament older than the Quran or Hadith?
Yep.
Absolutely. Has the New Testament in the book of Revelation, does it have fulfilled prophecy? Already fulfilled and yet prophecy to come? Has it absolutely been fulfilled? Can you prove it in history where it was? Absolutely. Okay? The Jehovah Witnesses swear up and down that Jesus is not God the Son. To their detriment, They believe the Bible, they say. But to their detriment, they deny the divinity of Christ. And that's the only way they're going to get to heaven. The Mormons replace him as basically one of their spiritual brothers. Because Adam God was the real God, the one who got everything rolling. And, you know, in the Mormon culture, that every Mormon man, if he's a real good guy and he has enough wives, he can populate a whole new earth and a whole new world, just like Adam God did. The only reason why Adam's ahead of him, because he's born before him. Because he's going to catch up, you know. Of course, we got millions and millions of years to populate the worlds. The worlds. All of these do what? They do the violence to the person of Jesus Christ. Do violence to him. I'll tell you the truth about how to identify a true, honest religion. Okay? In real Christianity, if you burn the Bible, even if you kill Christians, the Christians will still pray for you. They won't kill you because you use their Lord's name in vain. Why? Who's going to be in the end? Who's going to be the power of the universe in the end? The Lord. Why should we have to do anything to defend His Word or His name? Because He's going to do it. We don't have to. We need to be apologists. We need to learn how to preach His Word. And we need to learn how to give a man an answer for our faith and everything else. But we don't have to kill them. We don't have to put them in jail. False religion believes in the church state. Do you know that? Do you know what the church state is? That's Catholicism. That's the Lutherans. Presbyterians, John Calvin, set up a church state. If you want to decide what he did, he'd kill you. Or imprison you, or fine you. That's not the way you make Christians. You don't enforce what you cannot enforce morality. Either a person wants to be moral because God is in you, or you don't. Simple as that. You change a person from the inside, you don't put them in a chain. I mean, you can't go out and rob and steal. You go out and rob and steal, you should go to jail. I mean, you might get by with them, Bakersfield. But you ought to go to jail. Because governments were set up to protect the people from bad people. And that's what a government is for. That's the only reason why it's for. It's to protect the good from the bad. If they're not doing that, then they're debunk. As simple as that. False religions relegate and punish what they believe to be their moral standards. The Bible has real black and white moral standards. It does. It's got them. But, for instance, if you go out and you get drunk tonight, there's nobody going to kill you. In Islam, you go out and get drunk, and you can be killed. You don't have any leeway. You don't have any freedom of thought there. Did you know that? In Christianity, there are all different kind of little things that, you know, we might believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, a mid-tribulation rapture, a post-tribulation rapture, and all that stuff. And, you know, I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. I believe that. But if somebody believes in the middle or a post, I'm not going to say he's a total heretic and go out and try to cut his throat. But in false religion, they will do that. You don't mess with it. You don't change. That's the difference. Christianity tries to help the world and make the world a better place. It said what? Love your enemies? That's a hard thing to do sometimes. Sometimes you have to protect yourself. Remember when Jesus told those boys to go out and buy them a couple of swords? And when he was arrested, how many swords did they have? They had two swords on the premises right then. And one of them got used, didn't it? At that time, he said, forget it. Forget it. This must take place. You know, he must die. Later on, maybe they needed to protect themselves. How many times did they have to protect themselves from people that wanted to kill them? I don't know. The Bible doesn't record that. But we have records in history when they did protect themselves at times. Not in offensive, but defensive. Not becoming offensive, but defensive. Let's go on a little further. Always taught in the world, openly in the world. And whose world was it? The devil's world. He came in to bind the devil here. Jesus, when he said it's finished on the cross, he said it's finished. He had lived the life that he was supposed to live to redeem us. Then when he came out, he went to the grave. He went down in Sheol. He preached unto them that I have died for your sins now. Pretty soon you don't get to stay in this place anymore. The devil's bunch had to stay. Jesus took his to heaven. Okay? Boy, eschatology and even eternal punishment means a lot of things. To the world, I talk in the synagogues and in the temple, where all the Jews, they kept on coming together. And in secret, I spoke nothing. I didn't speak anything in secret. Nothing in secret. How about eternal punishment? The Bible. Has a church got the power to eternally punish anybody?
No.
They don't have the power to damn anybody. Only thing a church can do, in Matthew the 18th chapter, where you go do this now, okay? Whatever you bind in the church has already been bound in heaven. Whatever unloosed in church has already been loosed in heaven. Already been loosed in heaven. Already been bound in heaven. You have nothing to do with it. Are there devils in the Lord's churches? Of course. The Lord had one, didn't he? What was his name? Yehuda. Judas. Issacharios. The one that betrayed him. Yes, there's devil in the Lord's churches. Sometimes they get in there. Let me tell you about Hellfire just for a moment. I've got, Adriana, have you looked at that book, The Doctrines of the Bible? Yeah, have you looked at that in there? There's a lesson on hell in there. I preached that, and I preached it the day I visited hell, 1980, I think it was, and I had about five or six people were saved, and they came forward, and Hernando Montragon, he was saved that morning, or that night when I preached that. I don't know how many people came forward for baptism. You know, hell just scares people real good, doesn't it? Because you need to look at it sometimes. When you're born again, you don't get to go to hell. Did you know that? You don't get to go to hell. The Catholic Church, they always are scaring their people with hell all the time. Because you never know whether you're really saved or not. You don't have the security of a believer. One thing Baptists have always taught, one little phrase is, once saved, always saved. And I always put on top of that, a man may sin securely, but safely never. Yes, a man may sin securely, but safely never. If you're the Lord's, if you sin, you're going to get in trouble. You're going to get a real good spanking. But Islam, let's look at Islam for just a minute. I like to do comparative religions. Do you know that everybody in Islam has to go to hell? Did you know that? Just like Catholicism, they borrowed it. They borrowed purgatory from them. They did. They borrowed this idea of purgatory. Everybody in Islam has to go to hell for a while until you get purified. And that's the same thing that the Catholic Church teaches, isn't it? A little borrowing, a little what we call plagiarism, a little here, a little there. And by the way, purgatory isn't even a place. That's an invention of people's minds. It's not really a place at all. But they invented this to work the people over. This man that we saw talking when we came in here, he was taught from the time that he was a baby to kill. To go kill God's enemies. To go kill God's enemies. Okay? And he was told that everybody has to go to hell. But how do you get bypass hell if you're Islam?
Second,
if you're a Muslim?
Drop of blood.
Huh?
Second drop of
blood. Wait a minute. How do you do it? You become a martyr. And you don't have to go to hell at all. The first drop of your blood that's shed when you're dying, you get to become an intercessor. You get to take 70 of your own family out of hell so they get to bypass hell. So you're an intercessor for them. You're a savior for them, so to speak. And the next drop of blood, you get 72 virgins that are virgins every day. They never stop being virgins. Okay. This is it, boy. Yay! You know, this guy, this is what we call carnal religion. A carnal religion. To a carnal man, that is great, you know, great. It may be mythology, but it's great. That way you don't have to go to hell. You always have hell looming over you and this suffering. But if you do this, you get to bypass it. Now, isn't it nice to know the truth? That you've been born again. That you don't have to go to purgatory and you don't have to go to hell either one. Because Jesus Christ paid your cross. Paid the price already. Our God is so close to us and their God is so far away. Your witness of God is way out yonder. They can never touch Him. They can never be touched by Him. He's holy, holy, holy. Islam, their God, is way out there that could not be touched by anything in the human race, nor would He ever, how could He cohabit and have a child, you know, like God the Son. But the God of the Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that He really did have a Son that He loved. His only begotten Son, that He gave His life for us. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what it says. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God, belonging to God, is eternal life. Through who? Through Jesus Christ, our Jehovah. The Jehovah God of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New. And that's who we're talking about here tonight. He said, I didn't speak in secret. That's what we call cryptic. And look at that word, crypto. By the way, there are some people, well, the German grammarians, by the way, they took the, and I don't know why they did this. Here's crypto right there, all right. And here is kyrios, the same thing. Now, the word ypsilon there, they make it upsilon. And they say it's upsilon. But it's not upsilon, it's ypsilon. All right? It is like a Y. Kyrios, cryptos. Cryptology? What do you do when you study cryptology? You study secret things and codes. Okay? Cryptic, all these things, it's all cryptic, isn't it? And in English, it's brought over from the correct Greek pronunciation. The word kyrios, that means Lord. It's kyrios. I have a friend, Photios Kyriakopoulos. That's his name. Photios Kyriakopoulos. Kyrios. I'll look at his name for just a moment. Photios. What does that come from?
Light.
We get a word phosphorus from it. We get a word phosphorus, anything like that. Light. Photo. All of that. Photo. That's light. And then look at this word here. Kyriakopoulos. Here we have the word Kyriakos. Or Kyriaka. All right? That means belonging to the Lord. And at the end of it, we have a city. Polis. We had a word police. A policeman guards a city, doesn't he? Comes from the Greek word polis. All right? A light belonging to the city of the Lord. Doesn't he have a nice name? Light belonging to the city of the Lord. Nothing I spoke to you in cryptic or secret, nothing. 1821. T. May. Erotas. Eroteson. Tus. Ake. Kotas. T. E. La. Lesa. Altois. Ide. Hotoi. Oi. Dasin. Ha. Epen. Ego. We have a little interrogative pronoun here, right in the front of it. Why? 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 Little interrogative. Why me? You ever heard that song, Why Me? Why me ye interrogate? Why me you interrogate? You interrogate the ones having heard what I spoke to. This, you know what he was doing here? He was quoting to them their law. He's quoting their law. They were in 18 violations of the Jewish law, the Mishnah and the Talmud right here. They were in 18 violations of their own law. Now he tells them how they are violating their law. Don't ask me. Get your witnesses. Get your witnesses. You don't have the witnesses. Where are your witnesses? Where are your bought and paid for witnesses? Where are your perjurers? You know, people committing perjury. Thou shalt not commit what? Perjury?
Bear false witness.
Yeah, bear false witness. Thou shalt not commit perjury or bear false witness. They were doing that. Thou shalt not keep on murdering. That's what it says in Hebrew. Were they trying to murder him?
Yes.
Thou shalt not keep on lying. Now, in the Bible, the King James, it says, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not do all these things. But in Hebrew, it says, you shall not keep on doing that. Because they were doers. They were liars, they were murderers, they were coveters. These people were all of these things. They had broken every law, every commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. This is the Lord their God. What are they doing? They're hating Him. Thou shalt not use the Lord thy God's name in vain. They were spitting at Him and using His name in vain. His name was Jesus, which means Jehovah saves. All the Ten Commandments they're breaking, and they're breaking 18 of their own laws. They're breaking all Ten Commandments and 18 of their own laws. Why me, you question? You question the ones having heard what I spoke. Look at that word I spoke. Le'elelisa. Now, Sharon, what does that mean now? To speak with human language, because now God has come down and become man and become part of us. The God that everybody else has so far away loves us so much that He come down to us and He speaks to us in our own form. Because He's going to redeem us in our own form. You don't have to redeem yourself. Jesus Christ did it. To try to redeem yourself is blasphemy. Do you realize that? Because God did the redeeming. To try to redeem yourself, to try to pull yourself up into heaven by your own bootstraps is blasphemy. Because you're circumventing the Word of God and the plan of God. God's eternal purpose was what? Always. Jesus Christ stood as a lamb slain from before He ever created anything. So to try to work your way to heaven is blasphemy. Blasphemy. What I speak to them, what I spoke to them, that is, you behold, these, they have known what things I said. What said I? The multitudes is what he's talking about. Ask the multitude. Just a few days before this, they are the ones that threw their clothes down for the donkey to walk on. Remember that? In the triumphal entry into Jerusalem?
Hosanna.
What?
Hosanna.
Yeah, they were calling Him Hosanna. Lord, save us. Lord, save us. Just a few days before that, they had thrown the palm branches down, and the Jews had come up to Him spitting at Him then. Tell them not to say what they're saying. He said, if I told them not to say what they're saying, what would happen? The rocks would cry out. I've got some of those rocks off that mountain. Waiting for the rock to cry out. They would have. These the ones they have known what I said. This crowd have known what I said. The rocks cry out. They even borrowed that in the Quran. Did you know that? That when the Jews, and the last time when Jesus comes back, Issa is what they call Him, when He comes back, He's going to declare that He was not the Son of God, and He's going to break the cross and tell all the Christians to repent or die. They're going to be decapitated. He's going to destroy all false religion. That's what they say. And that the rocks are going to cry out, and the trees, that every Jew's come and kill this one, go cut his throat. He's hiding behind me. The rocks cry out. That's another thing that was borrowed, slightly borrowed. 1822, Talta, De Altu, Epontos, Ace, Perestikos, Ton, Hiperaton, Edokane, Rapisma, To Esu, Epon Hotos, Apocrine, To Arcare. This is violence here. This is a lot of violence. There's a lot of violence in the Bible, isn't there? Lots of violence. It just tells the truth the way it is. And these sayings of him, having said, one. Look at that word haste there. It's just like ace, but it's not a preposition here. It's a numeral. Okay? One, having stood by of the attendants. This is what we call the attendants here. This is that sergeant of arms. Okay, this is the sergeant of arms, so to speak, or the deacons. He gave a rapisma, a blow with a rod. He hit him with a rod. A man was never, according to the law, was never supposed to be struck or punished in any way before he was completely found guilty. Jesus was not found guilty, but he was beaten right in the face, beaten in the face with a rod, beaten in the face. Slapped to the Jesus. Having said thus, he answered the high priest. He hit him in the face because he answered the high priest. He didn't tell the high priest what he wanted to hear. 1823. Apocrite. Alto. Asus. Kakos. Elesa. Matir. Reison. Periton. Kaku. De. Kalos. Ti. Me. Their race. All right. We get a word out of that word, the race, there. What word do you think it comes from in English? Derogatory. To deride. Okay? And he answered him, Jesus. He was called to answer him, Jesus. If ill, or since ill, I spoke. Okay? I spoke, since ill I spoke, you bring forth witness concerning the evil. Look at this word, evil. Kakos there, that means Adamic evil. If I did anything, if I said anything wrong, if I did anything Adamic evil, now it's not ponerio, is it? This word, what is the word for evil in Hebrew? Remember what the word was? Arum. Arum. That's evil. That's wicked. That's twisted. That's like ponerio in Greek. This is, if I did anything like a common man, just a common, if I did anything common, bad, ill, and if good, why me you deride? This is the word deride. Why do you beat me up? Why do you slap me? Why do you deride me? Why do you verbally abuse me? Why do you slap me? Why do you beat me in the face with a rod? 1824. Jesus had six trials. All of them were illegal. He had six trials. All at nighttime. Pontius Pilate said, this is not right. Even old Herod said, I don't want anything to do with him. He's afraid of him. He was afraid of what he did before. 1824, apostelein, un auton, ho anus, dede menon, pros caiaphon, ton arceria. All right, now what does Caiaphas mean? Come on now, I want you people to remember. Caiaphas. You can do better than I can if you can remember all these things. I have to look up my notes sometimes. Caiaphas. You remember that one, Adriana? How about you, Chance? You remember old Caiaphas? Caiaphas means depressed. 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 You got it after you've looked your notes. Depressed. Write down depressed. Depressed. Humbled. How about Annas? Huh? The grace of Jehovah. All right. The grace of Jehovah. That's good. See, now you're remembering these. These names mean a lot. Annas, having been bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. All right. 1825. Ain, De, Simon, Petros. Estos, Kai. Their minominos. Epon, un alto. Me, Kai. Si, ek, ton, matheton. Alton, a. A re ne sato, ekinos, kai, epain, uk amy. Now it says we have a little weak adversative conjunctive particle. How do you like that for description? That's day right there. Day is how the sentence starts. Now it's not there. It's the second word in the sentence, but actually it's the first grammatically. Moreover, he kept on being Simon Peter. Simon means what? One who hears. What's the Old Testament name for Simon? One of Jacob's boys, Simeon. Okay, Peter. What is the Aramaic word for Peter? Aramaic. Aramaic. Cephas. Thank you very much. Cephas. A plus. Simon Peter. Cephas means pebble also. Okay. Simon, one who hears Peter. Peter. Having stood and warming himself. Look at this word. Nominative, singular, masculine, present, participle, middle. He's warming himself at the devil's fire. Remember. Warming himself at the devil's fire. Those devils around. They were too. These were devils. Warming himself at the devil's fire. And they said therefore to him, not also. Now we have a particle of negation. That's may. Okay. And then chi here is not a conjunction, but it is a what? A cumulative particle. Also to. T-O-O. Or also. A-L-S-O. Also you. Out of the disciples, the habitual learners, belonging to him you are. And he denied for himself that one. And he said, not, adverb of negation, not I keep on being. Not I am, not I keep on being. Now he wasn't right there, Jesus' disciple, was he? He was denying. He was denying him. He was denying that he knew him. He denied it with an oath of heaven. Okay? 1826. This is where we'll finish for tonight. Lege eis. Ek ton doulon. Tu akerios sing. Actually would be sing genes. Sing genes. Un. U. Apa. Apek copsin. Petros, to, otion, uk, ego, si, adon, in, to, capo, met, autu. And he says one, haste, that word's haste, not ace, but haste, one out of the slaves of the high priest, one of his slaves, a relative, being of whom Peter had chopped his ear off. Now he's a relative of who? Who was the guy's name, remember? Malchus. All right. Peter chopped off his ear. Otio. Otion there. Otion. We get a word. Atik. out of it. Now, it's not optic, but optic. Okay? Not optic, but optic. We got a word out of this. A long time ago, I had this horse try to kill me. I was a wannabe cowboy one time, you know. I tried to break all those Mustangs and everything else and got stomped and beat up. You see these scars here? See that scar there? Scar cut in one eye and two. There's an ear that's been cut half in two here. And I got a lot of tooth prints all over me and horseshoe prints. Now, I won't disrobe and show you them, but they're there still, okay? And I've been picked up and shook like a rag in a horse's mouth and all this kind of stuff. Well, anyway, when this horse bit me, he cut my ear half in two. And ever since that day, I have not been able to hear out of that right ear. You know why? Because he severed the optic nerve. The optic, that's what that word is there, optic. The ear. That's where we get a word, optic. The ear, not I, you, I saw in the garden. In to capo, in the garden with him. I saw you there. Aren't you the one I saw there? Didn't you cut off that guy's ear? Now, Jesus had nullified the evidence, hadn't he? Had he not? Now, why did John write this in this? Why did he write 18:26 in the Gospel according to John? Why did John write about Peter here and say it was Peter that cut his ear off? Why? Peter was already dead. This could have been used as evidence in a court of law against him. But he was dead already. Peter had already been crucified upside down by now. But now John has the liberty to write it. None of the other synoptics write about this. They don't name him. But John names the one. He gives Peter credit for standing up. He gives Peter credit for being a coward, but he also gives Peter credit for being brave. The Word of God is absolutely just and true. The Word of God tells how David was after God's heart, but David was an adulterer. That David, what did he do? He killed this man. He had sex with his wife repeatedly, over and over again until she got pregnant. What was her name? It gives her name in the Bible, doesn't it? Bathsheba. And her husband gives his name. And then it says that he came and David brought him to his house. Had him sent home. Brought him to his house. Got him drunk. Said, go home with your wife. No, I'm not going to go home with my wife while the soldiers of Israel are out there in the army and fighting on the front lines. I won't do it. Got him drunk. Got him drunk. He wouldn't go. He had principles. Beautiful wife. Bathsheba was so beautiful that David wanted her. Now, let me tell you something. If the king had told this poor little feller, hey, I'd like to have your wife, and I'm the king of Israel, do you think that he would have given her to him?
Yep.
He could have got her legitimately. The Bible speaks the truth. Always, even when it's not expedient. David sent him back with a piece of paper in his hand to have him killed. Put him out there in the front line and withdraw from him and get him killed. And then when he did this, he showed all of Israel how much he thought of this little... He was a Gentile, wasn't he? He was from those pagans. But he became a proselyte. And he followed Israel, and he gave his life for Jehovah God. And David said, I am going to be so good to him, I'm going to take his wife as my wife. And then she was pregnant, and she had that baby, and God took the baby's life. That was that. He took the baby's life. He punished him. Not only that, but his own son would come after him and try to kill him. You reap what you sow. See, that's what happened. The Bible puts all of it in there. All of it. How about Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah? Yeah. What about Judah? What kind of guy was Judah? What was he?
He didn't do what he was told. When they went into the land, they were supposed to kill all the Canaanites or something of that area?
Well, let's go back and look at Judah before we go in there. Before Judah went into Egypt. Now, in Egypt, Joseph is there, and we have Potiphar's wife chasing after him all over, and he's being a real gentleman. He refuses to have cohabiting relationship with this man's wife. Now, I'm going to tell you about this guy, Potiphar. This guy, Potiphar, had him a wife, but he's a eunuch. Did you know that? So that wife, he cannot take care of that wife, even. But he's got one. He's got a real pretty one. And she knows she's pretty, and she looks at Joseph, and says, I want that man, because I don't have one. I married this guy, but he can't do nothing for me. So she starts chasing Joseph. And Joseph runs. Because he is a moral character. And this guy, you know, and he tells her over and over and over again. She pulls off his garment and holds him and says, this is the man that you brought into my house. This Jew that you brought into my house. This Hebrew has defamed me. And what was? She was a scorned woman. He wouldn't have anything to do with her, so she wants to kill him now, you know. Nothing like a scorned woman, boy. You get in trouble, don't you? Yeah. Get in trouble. He got in trouble. He wanted to have him killed. So, back in the Palestine, we have Judah. Judah married himself a Canaanite, and he had three boys by her. And boy, were they a mess. These were bad boys. And his wife dies, and he's used to going to the brothels and chasing the women, the prostitutes. So he's going to go down and go, this Bible tells this story now, okay? So he goes down to find him a prostitute. His wife has died, he's going to be comforted. He goes down there and he goes by this one area and looks over there and see his sons that he has given this woman. Her name is Tamar, remember? Which means tall and beautiful and elegant. Palm tree. That's what her name means, palm tree. And God hated her first husband and God killed him. Then he gave him another one and God, what he did, God killed him. Kills two of Judah's boys. Okay? So now he's got one left and he don't want to give her to him because he knows he's a bad boy too. Because they've got a bad mama. Okay? And so Tamar, she asks to give this to him, and he's not going to do it. She knows that he's not going to do it. So she goes out there because she has no child, and time is running out. She'll have nobody to take care of her when she's old. So she goes out there and dresses up like a prostitute. And when Judah comes by, he comes by and he says, boy, you're just what I've been looking for. And so he said, what will you pay me to have sex with you? And she said, whatever, you know, they agreed on a price. And she said, what are you going to give me for the meanwhile? And he said, what do you want? Give me your belt with your genealogy on it. Give me your staff and your ring. With all your staff, you know, that had the whole history of his whole family on it. And this belt, the sash, had the whole history of his family. This is all embroidered with who he was. And then his signet ring, which he signed documents with. Okay, so he did. She got pregnant. With twins. And just about 2 or 3 months later, his friend says, your daughter-in-law has played the harlot. She's pregnant. He said, burn her! Burn her alive! And what they did, what were the three forms of Jewish execution? Stoning, strangling, and burning. Stoning, they stoned them. You know, they put them in an outhouse pit. And they stoned them right in excrement. If they strangled them, they set them down in the outhouse up to their hips in feces, dung. And they took a scarf on one side, a scarf on the other side, and they pulled it with their hands strung out like this, and they denounced them and told them all the time they did this, they told them their crime before, as they were killing them, and told them, you're a lowest form of life and you believe that you belong in a dunghill. And then the person that was going to burn, they would take this wick with some type of oil or petroleum or something, and they would take and strangle them, they'd cram the thing down their throat and set it on fire. and make them hold them there until they died of suffocation and burning. And then we'd take them and hang them out there at the entrance of the city. That's what he told to do this woman.
Muslims did it.
Yeah, that's what they did. Now, she says, he says, he gets her and he's going to try her a real fast trial and going to burn her. Okay? And he said, who did you do this with? And she said, the guy that I got this belt from and this ring and this staff from. And he said, oh, you're more holy than I am. I lied to you. I lied to you. And he took her. He never was with her again. But she had twins, and one of those twins, Perez, is the one that Jesus came to. And we have Rahab the harlot in the Bible. Rahab the harlot. She was a courtesan. She was a high-priced prostitute. Where? In Jericho. She's in the lineage of Jesus. And then we have a seductress in the lineage. A man that seduced Boaz. A woman that seduced Boaz. She's a seductress. Who, what was her name? Naomi. Naomi's daughter.
Yeah.
We have these people all in the lineage, and the Bible just tells you the truth about all of it. This tells you the truth, doesn't it? Doesn't hide anything, just tells the truth. That's what makes the book so believable. If you were writing the Bible, would you put all that stuff in there?
Nope.
No way! That skeleton's in the closet. But God said, let's do it. All right. Do you have any questions? No questions? Let's go out and do it. What? Do something eternal. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your honesty and everything that you've always done in our lives and for us. Forgive us for your failure. Help us to go out and do something eternal. Help us to go out and do something that will follow us into eternity. Help us to be the kind of witnesses and the kind of Christians that we ought to be. Help us to be brave and be in the Lord's army. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.